And now back to Dr. Michael Roizen, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Janice Wolf is a part of a nonprofit agency that takes and rehabilitates shelter dogs, trains them for use for kids with special needs. A few minutes left with her, and here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
Now, where we were was, how much time do you spend with the owner versus the dog when you rehabilitate a behavior problem dog?
Okay, great question. Typically, it takes around 10 to 20 minutes to rehabilitate the dog. Obviously, then you have to continue that on. Much as if somebody would go to a doctor, how long does the appointment take? They work, do a workup, they check on you, and then they say, okay, we'll take this medication for the next 2 weeks. And then you leave it up to the owner or the human. So same thing. It can take 20 minutes with the dog, and it can take hours with the human, because the human is doing something that's creating the behavior in the dog. Even if it's a rescue and perhaps that person didn't create the problem, that person didn't know how to solve the problem.
Gotcha. Now, you've also got a set of books. One, this is a nonprofit. And the nonprofit is at merlinskids.org, and there is a donation area there. So you also have a series of books here that are being done relating to your work.
Yes, actually, my good friend Dr. Temple Grandin is writing a foreword on a number of the books. It's called My Name is Wyatt, and it's a book series about Wyatt's special adventures with these very special children. So it's called My Name is Wyatt, and it follows Wyatt on his adventures with special needs kids, where he sees the kids as adorable, just normal kind of kids, and he sees the world around those children as strange. So there's one book is about a little girl named Emily, and she's got something called Agenesis of the Corpus Callosum. Well, he sees little Emily as a pretty little girl in a pink sweater, but the adults around her give her strange looks and avoid her because they don't understand why she's acting the way she is. So Wyatt is non-judgmental, and this is a part of a book series that hopefully will be in most school systems within a few years, and it's actually in a number of private schools already. So it's really about anti-bullying and tolerance and acceptance and understanding of each other's, you know, special characteristics, but it's a fun storybook. And that's why, you know, each one deals with a different child's issues, from autism to agenesis to cerebral palsy to muscular dystrophy to all kinds of things, so that people can understand what these kids go through and can learn, can be their friends instead of staring at them.
And now let me ask you, what percent of kids with issues are you able to find a fit for, if you will? In other words, if 100 kids come to you, and there must be a lot, and obviously it's expensive. We learned that $8,000 to train a dog and child of this type. What percent of kids is Wyatt give thumbs up or paws up to, and what percent don't make it?
Well, the vast majority, I would say about 75% of children are good candidates for service dog, but then we get into the money issue. So if I keep playing Lotto and Powerball, praying I'll win so we can get every child a dog. But that hasn't happened yet, so we're still forging along. The children, what would disqualify a child is sometimes the children are too young, they're too aggressive, even though I would still work with them with a volunteer with another dog. You know, you have to be careful because I don't trust kids around dogs. So if I think that a child is not a good fit because of a dangerous situation, or like a little girl who has a very severe bone disorder, if the dog should bump her by accident and she falls, she could really hurt herself. So I don't think situations like that are really good candidates. But assuming we had an unlimited source of income, we could still, we get about roughly 150 per year needing dogs. And unfortunately, we can only fill about 50 of that, and that's just due to funding. So, like I said, anyone has a winning Powerball ticket, please let us know.
Gotcha. Now, there's a series of books, if you will. And one of your dreams, let me go back to one of the dreams, and I don't know whether it's mentioned on the website because I didn't get that far on the website, but one of the dreams is to have a farm where you can, in fact, do this in a more, in a larger scale fashion. Tell us a little bit about that.
Actually, we do have one in New Jersey. It's only 6 acres. We're not going to be able to put the Western theme park in there, but we do a lot of therapies with the children. They do work with the dogs. Actually, out in Phoenix here, looking for someone to donate a chunk of land so that we can do one out here. We're working on one in Texas right now that we're doing, hopefully going to have that something up and running. We've got one up in upstate New York and a place in Florida. These are all, again, having the land is very different from having the money to develop it. And Temple's been wonderful, and she's helping me design them. But, you know, it's just, it's the economy right now. We're trying to help children and save dogs, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't even have a job right now, so they can't, you know, can't help us out. But we're still forging along. We're still working.
Well, we want to thank you very much. Want to thank you very much. The website is again Merlins, Merlins Kids, KIDS .org. So Merlins without the apostrophe, Kids without the apostrophe .org. Thank you very much, Janice, for being with
us. And you can also call 855 High Wyatt is our phone number. 855 High Wyatt.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for doing what you do for those kids. Joe?
Janice Wolf, the founder of Merlin's Kids. Time for a quick Dr. Mike Real Age Tip of the Week.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
When to do or not to do a mammogram? That is the question. How frequently and at what age should women begin to get mammograms? Well, it isn't set in stone. Guidelines vary. For example, the American Cancer Society recommends annual mammograms for all women starting at age 40 every year, whereas U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends mammograms for most women every 2 years starting at age 50 through age 75. What do we think? Well, the new study from the Harvard School of Public Health adds fuel to the debate by stating that routine mammograms lead to an overdiagnosis of breast cancer, causing more anxiety than maybe curing it. And the problem is that a lot of the mammograms in the study were not read by specialists who just read mammograms. And that's because the researchers analyzed data from a study of 40,000 Norwegian women with invasive breast cancer. And if you look at it, it was not all the radiologists participated in it, not just specialists. So a couple things you should do. One is make sure a specialist is reading your mammogram. Two, if you have dense breasts, talk to them about an MRI or ultrasound to complement it. And three, there are new techniques coming in which make the diagnosis more secure. So go with the newer techniques if you can get to one of those places. Joe?
This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Hour number two is coming up. Stay with us.